You're listening to Breakaway Wealth, the show designed to help you build wealth faster, think bigger, and break out of the herd. Now, here's your host, Jim Oliver.
Welcome back, Breakaway Wealth. I'm your host, Jim Oliver, and with me today is my co-host, Nick Costco. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, I was feeling kind of tight. I woke up this morning and, you know, you and I went to the lab last night, right? We went into the laboratory. It was unexpected, and out came an idea to talk about today, and it was about stretching a little bit, but not the, hey, stretch your shoulder out stretch, right?
No, absolutely. It's stretching your, you know, actually stretching your horizon is what came to my mind first, Nick. But, you know, I heard something. I just had a coffee and a breakfast. I know you had your coffee meeting on Wednesdays, and I was driving and somebody said, what happens, you know, like in a boxing match when you quit? What does that mean? Are you the winner or the loser?
Oh, you're the loser.
Right. And like in a football, like in a football game, if you just said, hey, we quit.
Yeah. Forfeit.
The only way to guarantee losing is to quit.
Yeah. I mean,
that guarantees it, right? It doesn't matter. When you forfeit, when you quit, you lose no matter what, right?
Yeah. Failure. You only fail if you quit.
Right. And there's no scenario, there's nothing in the world, in this universe, that when you quit, you win. There's no sport. There's no, like, if you quit a book, you don't win. You know, like, I mean, if you quit, you lose. Right. So let's go. You know, I just wanted to get that out there because I think that it's really a mindset. And what we're talking about is stretching our mindset, but it means stretching our vision. So I know we talked about this before, but, you know, let's talk about, I'm not going to compare the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts, but let's talk about J.D. Rockefeller for just a second.
Hey, before we dive in, we got something cool we wanted to announce, right?
So absolutely.
On May 9th, we're launching something really cool on the community app. So if you don't have the app, go to Create Tailwind, all one word, in your app store. Go to community.createtailwind.com. And we're going to launch our first client exclusive mastermind, open forum every other week with Jim and myself. So just be looking for the announcement. There'll be a link, all that. Also, we have an incredible lineup of masterclasses coming from real estate experts, personal development experts, business experts. Be on the lookout for those announcements as well. But I feel like the community has spoken. We're going to start delivering even more value than we've had before. Things that aren't necessarily just more financial education courses, although we got some cool of those in the pipeline too. So be on the lookout. Make sure you have subscribed to our newsletter so that you get all these updates coming to you in a timely manner. All right, Jim. J.D. Rockefeller. I know we saw this recently.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a reminder when we were at Mastermind and somebody mentioned the book by Rockefeller, right? And so I started remembering some of the book and I started remembering some of the letters. But the one thing that I don't think that we have ever talked about is J.D. Rockefeller grew up very poor.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know that, right? They think of Rockefellers and he was the richest man in the world. But as he was growing up poor, guess what he told himself that he was going to be when he grew up? The richest man in the world. So think about that. You know, I think about that a lot. I think to myself, I laid in bed and I know I've told this story and I said, you know, I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to knock down these houses. I'm going to build a big house right here. And, you know, all the time, right?
In Inglewood, right?
In Inglewood, right? So like now I know that that was my vision. So my vision was smaller than J.D. Rockefeller's vision, right? J.D. Rockefeller, now think about that. What gives you the nerve to think you can be the richest man in the world when you are dirt poor? So let's talk about vision. If you say to somebody, what do you want out of your life?
What's most the first thing they say? Most people can't answer it. Most people can't even come close to it.
So if most people can't do something, then there's two things that tells me, right? One, they need help.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know how to do it.
Help.
Yeah.
They need to be guided. Right. And two, it means if I can do it, then guess what? now I'm uncommon. Because if a common person, most people, the majority, can't do it, and I can, now I'm uncommon. So what's a good place to start? And I know you just did this for your, I'm trying to set you up here, Nick.
Yeah.
I felt it. I know you just did this for your men's group at church. So how do I start to even know what it is that I want?
Yeah. So I'm going to actually give credit where credit is due here. I did not come up with what I'm going to talk about on my own. There's some original ideas that got weaved through this, but we're blessed. We have a great friend named Michael Winnington. He's a co-author of the 12-week year and the 12-week year field guide. The field guide is a workbook. And, you know, it's right there in the Bible. I think it's Proverbs 29:18, without vision, man will perish. And it's, you got to have a vision. You got to be committed to it. And you have to view it as something eventually that is possible. But everybody starts with this notion that what it is that they can conjure up in their brain is impossible. And so right there, that's what you're talking about. That's what stops people. So you actually have to do some exercises to open the mind. And there's a guy here at my Wednesday coffee. He's a functional medicine type of guy. He's an MD that does, he doesn't even do concierge. It's direct care, Jim. And he actually starts his whole exercise with, hey, when you're 100 years old, what are 10 things you want to be able to do? Okay, so you're 58. I'm strikingly younger at 47. You know, that's respectively 40 plus and 50 plus years from now. So right there, we have to take our brain and go out. Now, it doesn't matter if we perceive this as possible or impossible. That wasn't in his line of questioning. It was, when you're 100, what is it you want to be able to do? Well, Michael Linnington and Brian Moran in their field guide kind of walk us through something similar. And they actually want you to remove possible or impossible from the equation. And they have you do an exercise called a have, do, be. Not have a doobie, but like have, do, be. There's these three columns, all right? So if you write down on a piece of paper, you know, you write it have, and you'll find this on like page 4 or 5 of the 12-week year field guide. And you write down everything you want to have. It could be, I want to have a 60-foot yacht. It could be, I want to have a family of 18 kids. No limits. It has nothing to do with possible. Okay. We have to break through this impossible. Then you write down, what are all the things you want to do? I know we want to go play Augusta National someday. I know I want to do, you know, hike the Appalachian Trail in the Smoky Mountains, all 73 or 74 miles of it. Like, I want to do those things, right? And then who do I want to be? I want to be a loving husband and father, a follower of Christ. Those things start crafting a vision for you. And it's a mental exercise. You may be listening to this and you go, I have no idea what you're talking about. That's because you haven't worked those muscles yet. But at some point in your life, you did. You're doing something now that at some point in your life prior, you didn't perceive as possible. So all these things, it's becoming consciously unconscious of this process. And it's a very methodical process, right? It's not something that is supposed to just, you know, snap your fingers and you do, but you go from impossible to possible. And I'm totally drawing a blank on the other two steps of it. But then you get into, I think the last one was, how do you do it? You get granular with how you're going to do it. But that's where people's brain goes to first. They immediately go, well, I have no idea how to hike that trail. I have no idea how to buy that boat. Who cares right now? Go back to like this, building this vision that is limitless, that doesn't have time constraints on it. It doesn't have process constraints on it. And again, your brain's going to tell you to do so, think of it differently. Just trust the process in that.
So let's equate this. By the way, I love that exercise about, but I like to change it because I don't like it to be have, do, be, because I think it's backwards. I think it's, who do you want to be? What do you want to do? And then what do you want to have, right? I mean, that's just to me, because those are the way that I would prioritize those things.
Perfect.
But let's think about this. You know, one of the things that we both do, we both enjoy doing is golfing, right?
Yep.
And let's say that we were both 10 handicaps. And I said to you, Nick, I want to be a scratch golfer. Okay. So if I'm a 10 handicap, do I know how to be a scratch golfer?
Probably not.
Probably not. I might know how, right? Probably I wouldn't. But I mean, if I believe I could be a scratch golfer, then I don't know how because I haven't done it. If I knew how, I would hit the ball like that. I would play like that. But if I sat down with somebody who was a scratch player or a pro,
yeah,
and I said, okay, let's go play golf a few times. I want you to take notes. And then I want to develop a plan on what it's going to take to get me from where I am to a scratch golfer.
Yeah.
Right. And so the thing that they're going to do is they're going to evaluate where I am now, right? Where's my starting point?
Sure.
Now I've already given them my vision, right? So I've given them my vision and, you know, here's the funny thing. Going from 10 to 5 is pretty easy.
Yep.
Hit more balls, get more, I mean, you know, you could use stats. You could say, this is how you do it. Pretty easy. Going from 5 to 0, totally different thing. Totally different thing. Can't make those mistakes. Got to get more birdies, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay. So when you hear what most people's goals are in golf, they say, I'm going to be a single digit handicap.
I had that
not very
goal.
Many people. Right. And not very many people said, I want to be scratch. Now, if I want to be a single digit 9 handicap, because that counts, right? Do I practice more or less than if I want to be scratch?
You're going to practice less.
That's right. So my point to all of that for anybody that's not a golfer, that's like, okay, this is like watching golf on TV, is that if I have big goals and I have big vision and I'm stretching my vision, which is what we want you to do, which is what, part of what this episode is about, is I have to be willing to put in the work. I have to be willing to put in the work and not quit. Okay. Because again, so I'm a 10 handicap. I start hitting more balls. I get some lessons. I learn how to chip better. I learn how to putt better. I learn how to manage the course better. And all of a sudden I'm a 5. And I go, you know what? Better than all my friends. That's good enough. Right. But that's not your vision. That means I quit. I forfeited. I'm not trying to be a scratch golfer anymore. So if you say, I want to be financially independent and I want $1 million a year coming in passively because I don't think my lifestyle would ever exceed that, if that was just what your mindset was,
yep.
And you got the $500,000, then you quit. Now, most people, by the way, would be happy with $500,000 of passive revenue coming in every year.
Sure.
So what keeps us going when we have these stretch goals, these goals that are big goals, what keeps us going?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that are really important to me particularly is you have to keep your eye on that vision, right? You can't forget your why you're doing this, right? So vision, in my opinion, the why and your vision, why you're doing it, it has to be really strong, right? It can't be kind of this half-ass, oh, I want to go do this or that, right? That's my vision. Those things they're not sustainable. It's got to be strong, right? And then you have to create an environment that promotes you achieving this. Now, here's the trap, Jim. We've talked about this a lot of times, the gap in the gain, right? We can't ever really get to that vision because our vision's going to change. And so we have to guard ourselves against that because that will be a setback if we allow it to be a setback. But it's in the Bible, it talks about pruning, right? So we have to prune the dead weight. For me, it was pruning toxic relationships. For me, it was pruning toxic work environments. Now, the Lord knows I didn't have the guts to prune them myself all the time. So some of those were just removed for me. Awesome. Didn't mean it didn't stink because I thought I was being the one cut. But that was, you know, just a bad perspective. It's like you prayed for warmer weather and God took you to South Dakota. You're like, what the heck? But you didn't fight it, right? You went with it. You created an environment of success. You put great people around you. You remove the toxic people. We remove the toxic people. I stopped listening to CNN. I stopped listening to Fox. I stopped listening to all the scarcity mindsets out there. Because what's going to spill out of us is that scarcity mindset, right? No, Earl Nightingale, we become what we think about. Listen, what you fill yourself with is what you will think about. And if all that's telling you to be a slave, to stay where you are, guess what? You will be a slave and you will stay where you are. And then you'll go, man, I had this cute vision written down in a book one place. Where the hell did that go? Well, no, you have to get your rear end out of bed and open it up and look at it every day, right? And yeah. In fact, Earl Nightingale even makes it simple. He breaks it down and says, hey, you might have this big vision. Now, just do something real simple. Write down what you want in 30 days and look at it right. every day, right? So it's that's
yeah.
to me, these are kind of the keys to success is keep your eye on the vision and remove all the noise from the equation.
So, you know, you gave two things. Let me give you two things too. And I think these inner overlap or inner lace is you have to stay motivated and mm-hmm. nobody can motivate you. All you can do is create an atmosphere where you want to be, where people are either motivated or you're motivated. So I'll talk about that in a second. And the other thing is make progress, which is part of the gap in the game,
sure. right?
You got to make progress. The reason that somebody, when they're losing weight, they go, you know what? Okay, this is good enough, is because they stop making progress. What they're doing stops progress. So if I'm trying to lose weight and I lose 20 pounds and I keep doing the same things I'm doing, but I'm not losing any more weight. Well, one, I have to change tactics if I don't want to lose more weight. Or I can just say, you know what? Gosh, being 20 pounds lighter feels pretty good. I guess I'm happy. I'm content.
Sure.
I'll go ahead and accept this as my best. It's the same way when we're building financial freedom too, is there's going to be roadblocks. Yeah. There are going to be obstacles. You are going to lose, right? You're going to lose battles, but not the war unless you surrender, quit, forfeit. And surrendering, quitting, forfeiting, by the way, is a habit. So when you do it once, it's a lot easier to do it the second time. So we stay motivated by keeping your eye on the prize. Like you said, go back, write on your board, write on a piece of paper. What is my vision again? Why do I want that? You know, what is it? Like, well, I want to be 210 pounds. Why? Because if I'm 210 pounds, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be 25 pounds lighter than preferred, right? If it's an insurance. So that, I mean, that's one way to look at it.
Sure.
Right. How many people are, you know, I mean, I remember this has been a long time ago, but a 74-year-old got Preferred Plus.
Nice.
And I was like, man, I said, I've never seen this. I've never seen anybody over a certain age get Preferred Plus. I said, so tell me your blood work, everything has to be perfect. I mean, they don't share that with me, but, and he said, oh yeah, my blood work, my cholesterol is this, my HDLs are this, my blah, 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 blah. You know, he ripped off all of his stats. And I said, wow. And he goes, yeah, I take it serious. I take my health serious. Now this guy is 74 years old. Now, back to the exercise that you said this guy talked about. Dan Sullivan does a thing called the life extender or life extension exercise. Kind of the same thing.
Okay.
And I went through this with a friend the other day, and I asked her how long she wanted to live, and she said 96. I said, okay. So let's imagine a few years leading up to 96. Like, if you could draw it up perfectly, and you could do anything you wanted, what would your life look like? She goes, well, I'd be playing tennis, I'd be golfing, I'd be working out, I'd be doing all of these things. And I said, okay, if you felt that good, 96th birthday comes along, now how many more years do you want to live?
Yeah.
Well, I want to live forever then. I mean, if I'm going to feel like that, I want to live forever. And I said, okay, so if it wasn't forever, how long would it be? She goes, at least another 10, 15 years. So now just this mindset, her sure. mindset changed to 110 or so. Now think about that, right? In just a couple of questions and a couple of thoughts and a couple of changing our, a little bit of a mind shift, she went to 110 or a little bit more than 110. Is that crazy?
So what'd she have to do? She stretched a little bit, right?
She stretched a little bit. And that's, as we wrap this up, Nick, when you're creating your vision, do not just sit down and think this is a 30-minute or 1-hour exercise.
Nope.
This is an ongoing thing. And just like you said, Nick, that vision is constantly moving. And, you know, I always think that, oh, we shouldn't repeat that because we have already said that 5 times. But let's repeat something. What is the horizon, Nick?
The horizon's where the sky meets the ground.
Awesome. And you can see it, right? Can you go there?
I can see it, but I can't get there.
You can't get there. Why?
Because it's constantly moving.
Constantly moving. So even if I'm in the fastest jet there is, I can't get to the horizon.
Nope.
If I got fuel, I still can't get to the horizon.
Right? Yep. That's right.
Okay. So, but the horizon stretches, your vision has to stretch, and that means your skills have to stretch. And it seems impossible when you're taking your first step to what your last step might look like. But I promise you, your 10th step will be better. Your 1,000th step will be even better, and so on and so on, because progress makes us happy. All right. Any famous last words, Nick?
Yeah. We had this guy in my coffee group this morning, showed up first time, 24 years old. Jim, he's been buying the lie. He's starting to get a little hint to it too. You know, yeah. He's got some good people around him, starting to poke at him. And it came out of my mouth in answering some questions. I said, listen, man, the life that I have now, where I live, the people in my life, what I do professionally, if you said to me, myself, when I was 24 years old, that you would have this 24 years later, I would have told you, no way, that's impossible. And the only way we got here is by taking little steps, right? I joke all the time, I expect the ocean to boil by 10 a.m. every day and get annoyed when it's not there by 9. That's my own peril. And I know that. I'm very aware of it now, which means that I can keep that at bay. Get to know yourself. Get to know those predators in your life. And it'll allow you to push back the fences of life so that the impossible will become the possible. And so it's just like stretching. First time you try to stretch and touch your toes, pretty impossible. At least for me, it is.
Yeah.
But as I stretch, we stretch further and further. So thanks for going into the lab last night and us coming up with this idea. Hey, again, look, make sure you subscribe to our newsletter. Make sure you're in the community, community.createtailwind.com, so that you get all the news about the upcoming client exclusive mastermind and the new courses and the new masterclasses coming out almost every other week right now. We got a lot of changes coming. It's all to add value. It's all to help you stretch.
Absolutely. It's all to serve. And the way that you have the confidence to serve and is you educate yourself and then you help other people do the things that you learned and you find other people that you need to learn from. And it's a circle and it's the way that God intended it to be. And the first thing that matters is how you think. So thank you, Nick. And thank you, Earl, for taking us out of the show. And thank you, all of the people in the audience. And we're going to end this the way we always do, Nick, with the incredible words of Earl Nightingale. Take it away, Earl.
Here's the key to success and the key to failure. We become what we think about. Now, let me say that again. We become what we think about.
Once again, thank you so much for taking the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. If you are looking to discover new wealth building strategies, then go to community.createtailwind.com. That's community.createtailwind.com to join our free online community and get access to free courses and in-depth training videos designed to help you build wealth and break away from the herd. Click the link in the show notes to access the community today. Thanks again for listening.